think there's a lot of passion around this debate, this NIL transfer portal stuff. And as we're seeing local guys that we cover, I mean, there in a day, Angel, we saw Graham E.K., formerly of the Wyoming Cowboys, John Tonjay transfer out, formerly of the CSU Rams, and then Lawson Lovering, the big man for the Colorado Buffaloes, transferred out. And as you heard Mark moments ago, he's like, that's a shock. I mean, seemed like him and Tad were great. And, I mean, again, the Buffs, dude. The Buffs are a Pac-12 team. So, but I did hear that CSU had been in contact with Lovering, and they know him, and I don't know. Why would you choose CU? I'm just throwing it out there, Pac-12 to Mountain West. Although the Mountain West was okay this year. But this is my poll question today, presented by Tight Knit Brewing here in downtown Greeley. Amazing, amazing beer. Been going there for years. Which is worse for college sports? NIL or the transfer portal? 44% are saying NIL. 33% are saying transfer portal. 22% are saying, hey, they're good for college sports. What would you vote on, Angel, if you just had to vote? You just had to go click the vote. Because, again, you can't explain on these, and that's the whole point. You can't have a novel on the poll question answers.
I'm going to go with NIL.
You'd say you wouldn't vote they're good for college sports. You'd vote NIL. That's where you go?
I think so.
That's what 44%. The transfer portal
is an easy fix. NIL is.
But right now, assuming they don't fix anything, assuming they leave it all the same and this is just how it is, you still NIL?
Yep.
Just the money is complicating things.
I think it is. I think, you know, those upper class schools, like, you know, the Bamas, the Ohio States, the Georgias, those schools, they're going to get transfers no matter what. Whether or not they're going to get NIL stuff, because they were already getting transfers. Like before the transfer portal became a thing, you know, graduate transfers were already going to these schools.
Yeah.
Without the promise of money.
I
think money changes it more, not just can I get at a different school? It's changing the actual mindset of these players.
When you're going to Alabama, your percentage of chance of going to the NFL goes from, okay, zero, because you're in high school. Go to Alabama. What's your percentage chance suddenly go to if you go to Alabama to the NFL? What do you think?
See, maybe right around 60.
60%? So you think if you play for Alabama, you got a 60% chance of going to the NFL?
I think so.
I mean, I don't know about the. I don't know how many guys a year go to the NFL from Alabama.
I'd say out of.
I mean, we know there's a ton that get drafted.
Out of every
kind of seniors
class,
or guys that, yeah,
I think it's fair to guess at least half of every recruiting class is going to the NFL.
And that's...
Like, and I think the 2017 the upper, class again, had like 10 guys.
Yeah, we're talking Alabama too. So that's the exception. That's the extreme. Let's just say... All right, give me a Power 5 school that's kind of middle of the road.
Oklahoma State.
What's your... You graduate high school. You decide to sign with Oklahoma State. What's your percent? No, we're not talking about players or any of their ability or anything like that. What's your percentage chance? Just ballpark. 20?
Maybe under 20.
Okay, like 20, 15%, something like that. Well, that percentage is worth a lot. You know, if you go 15% chance, all right, that's Oklahoma State, man. That's cool. I'm gonna get a shot here. Now it's up to me. I gotta go make a name for myself, and then I can increase that percentage. Those schools are still gonna have that. Always. CSU, what's the percentage chance that you go to the NFL if you sign with them today? 1.001?
I'd say 2%.
2%?
Like milk.
Yeah. Like, you got a milk's chance of going to the NFL. Well, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at guys that played for them last year. Or they're seniors that are going to make it. They're good. Who is their good linebacker over the last few years? He could try out, maybe be a walk on. So again, you could get in the NFL and not get drafted. Okay, I'll go with you 2%. But I look at some of these players that can go and be really good in their sport, but they're not pros. They're just not pros. Good players fun to watch. They did good things while they were here. Hell of an athlete. Just don't have that extra step. And that's where I look at it and go, man, isn't it kind of cool to say you could show something for that? You were able to get a car dealership, or you were able to get a sponsor or something to work with you in your years of playing sports. I've always said I think that players should be able to earn. I never said college should pay them. But I have entered a different conversation with that. Because now I don't know if it's altogether a bad idea to just say, you either get a scholarship and no NIL, no payment, just a scholarship, or you can choose to be an employee, which means you get a contract of some sort. That is never going to happen. But it's just, where are we going to be in 20 years of this? Where's this thing ultimately going to go? And so that's why I've at least touched on, I mean, we're talking amateur sports. We're talking damn near pros, because now they're making money like pros. I mean, Torrey Horton, I don't know what kind of money he's going to make. We might work with him. We don't know yet. But he just got a car. Now, did they give him that car? Or is he just like, you think he's just leasing it or just renting? Or did they just give it to him for the season? I don't know if they actually gave it to him. I think maybe they did. But they're passionate about it. I've talked to Mark Lee, the great folks over there. And they're like, you know, Torrey didn't have a vehicle to drive around, to go to places. And we want these players to succeed. We want them to grow. We want student-athletes to grow. Some of the businesses' hearts are in the right place. And this is, I've always liked the NIL theory of, if I put my name on something, I should be able to, if I ask for money, I should be able to get it. If I don't demand your product, then I'm not going to get money. You know, because then you've always had that argument of, well, star quarterback makes money. What about the swimmer? I'm sorry. It's supply and demand. It's a free market. If the quarterback is good and attracts a lot of attention and can fill my restaurant with a autograph signing, I'm going to pay you. Here's $500 for 4 hours. I want you setting up shop here, and you're going to sign autographs and take pictures. If I think it's worth $500, great. And then you can tweet it out. You can promote me. Great. Vic Lombardi was on with us in the 11 o'clock hour. He asked, like, what opportunities are there? I'm actually I'm stunned because I've done some work in Denver for different radio stations this last year. And a lot of them just have no clue how the NIL, a lot of the radio people I talk to, how to use the NIL. They're like, I mean, what do the players do? You know, Vic said, what is this wrestler, Andrew Alirez, what kind of NIL possibilities, what do they do? Well, essentially, they're advertising your business. Think of it this way, Angel. For better or worse, they are NASCARs. You're slapping a sticker on them. I mean, you're not doing it during the games because you can't. But when they're walking around and they're going out and about and maybe they're doing events, going to dinners that aren't CSU related or UNC related or whatever, they're NASCARs. Slap a hat on them. Have them out at an event. Tweet about us. That's what it is, essentially. Student athletes are becoming NASCARs. Put a sticker on them. And then they promote. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think that there should have been a limit. The NCAA probably should have came in at the beginning of all of this. The Jeremy Bloom story. You remember why the college football games on the video games, they got disappeared because too much of a sticky issue where players were beginning to freak out and say, you can't use my name on that stuff if you're not going to pay me. You can't put my brand on there. And so I guess we're going to get college football games back. They're coming back next fall. But that was a big sticky point. Because I'm going to use your brand on this game. Number 15 for Florida. Oh, but it doesn't say Tebow on the back, but we know who it is. Plays a lot like him, throws a lot like him. That was a sticky situation. So I've always said this, that I think players should be able to earn. If I'm going to school, I'm just a regular student, I'm able to work, I'm able to earn somehow, These guys really aren't. Yeah, now they can make some more money. But it's still the time-consuming thing. They can only make so much because of the stipend and all that. Let's see. Dixon, I would vote NIL as well, but I also think you shouldn't be able to transfer unless your coach leaves. You shouldn't be able to school and NIL shop after making a commitment. I get what you're saying. You're saying make the commitment unless your coach leaves. And I like that because it's not fair that the coach can go whenever, but the player can't. But what, Dixon, let me ask you this. What if it is, what if bad things are happening that they just haven't been charged for? What if you were a Louisville player back when Patino was the head coach and you knew of the sex parties going on, but you weren't having any of it? Again, those of you that don't know the story, Patino allegedly didn't know about it, whatever, but certain coaches were enticing recruits to come to their school and play, and then they would throw little parties in the dorm, in some of the dorms, and some of those parties had extracurricular stuff going on in those parties. A lot of stuff, actually. And that's why Patino is no longer at Louisville. If you knew that was going on, but you didn't want to be a rat, so to speak, you didn't want to be that guy, you loved your teammates, you still had respect for your coach, you don't like the guys that are doing this, what if you asked to be transferred out at that point? You're like, I don't even want to get involved. I don't want to report anybody. I'm scared. What if this screws me over? What if I'm blacklisted now? Colleges are worried I'm going to be a snitch, and I don't want to do that stuff. I just want to transfer out. I want to be done. If school gets sanctioned, you can enter portal. But if they don't get caught, like what if, I mean, we know stuff's going on literally as we speak today. There's probably some illegal stuff going on with the college, with how they're recruiting or what they're doing. There's probably stuff going on right now. And what if you hear about it and you're like, that's what this program does? I'm not down with that. I want to get out of here. What if it's something like that? You can't prove it and you don't want to because you don't want to, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but you don't want to get in trouble and you don't want to be labeled as a guy that is a snitch or whatever. Again, not saying it's the right thing to do, but what if that's your stance and you're uncomfortable? Dixon says, if you don't want to snitch, unfortunately, you made a bad decision. But what if you didn't know that? What if you didn't know that going into it? And then you find out all this crap's going on, and you're like, I can't be a part of this. I think you should be able to transfer. You know, obviously, in an ideal world, you're able to tell everything that's going on. There are we are in a world where we had Jerry Sandusky as a defensive coordinator for Penn State. Now, hopefully you can turn that in if you find out. But still, I'm just saying, if there are bad things going on and you're just like, you're a kid, you're 17, you're 18, you're overwhelmed, you don't know what to do. You're not a kid if you're 18. I get that. But you just want to get out of here. It's nuts, man. It's a very, very messy deal now. The cat's out of the bag. 19 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk some Colorado Avalanche coming up next with our good friend Kyle Fredrickson. Jared Bednar, locked up, loaded, ready to go. Are the Avs locked, loaded, and ready to go? They're getting guys back, but they're winning games. We'll talk to Kyle from the Denver Gazette coming up next. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The trade deadline is coming gone. Can the Nuggets finally get to the finals? Hear our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 23 minutes after the hour, joining us now to talk some Colorado Avalanche, the Avs beat writer for the Denver Gazette, Kyle Fredrickson. Kyle, first and foremost, man, Jared Bednar, locking him up, getting him in the mix for a three-year extension. That's just a feel-good move. That's a great move. I don't think there's a person in the state of Colorado that's not happy about that move today.
Yeah, and the timing makes a lot of sense, right? He's going into what next season would be the final year of his current contract. So I think it's smart for the Avalanche just to remove any doubt, you know, let's get this done before he enters that final year and get this extension written and signed. And, you know, I think it was obvious from the start that this would be a move that Colorado would need to make, just sort of with just the synergy that this team has found between Jared Bednar, Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic. You know, Jared kind of talked about that today, to be able to go through this process with those guys, you know, for the past, you know, 6-7 years since he's been the head coach, and to really grow and to win a Stanley Cup. You know, there's really not much better than that. So a lot of mutual trust between ownership and the coaching staff. And, you know, today and yesterday, as we learn this news, really just sort of validates that.
What an interesting road it was for Bednar too, Kyle, because I was talking about this earlier. You know, when Joe Sakic hired Patrick Waugh, it felt like it was, you know, the dream team. I mean, you got two of the greatest Avs ever. Now they're working together, and Waugh's first year was good. You know, they were good, and then struggled after that, and then he quits late in the summer, so it puts the Avs kind of behind the eight ball. They bring in this guy that not a lot of people, unless you're just a diehard hockey junkie, knew about Bednar. His first year was rough, but then after that, they stayed the course, and they were in the playoffs ever since, and then, as you mentioned, they won a Stanley Cup, so What an exciting ride! What an interesting ride it was for Bednar all these years.
Sure, and it's a credit to the ownership group and Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic for making the move to get Bednar. You know, he was a championship winning head coach in the AHL and the ECHL, so he had proven that he could win at two lower levels. And to see what he's done, you know, in the NHL and to win that third championship, he really is in a class of his own. And, you know, I think when you talk to players, you know, and get a sense for why he's so beloved, there's just sort of this real blunt honesty and caring that Bednar brings that allows these guys to feel like they can be themselves, but also with the understanding that they're part of this bigger team culture. And, you know, it takes a lot of people pulling the rope in the same direction to win a cup. And, yeah, you know, to see what he's done after that first season. I mean, you know, he's even talked about it. He thought he might have gotten fired. You know, the Avs won 22 games, you know, in 2016-17, but they trusted him after that first year, and, you know, they're expected to make their sixth trip to the playoffs in a row. So, you know, so many NHL franchises would love to have that stability. So the fact that, you know, Bednar, you know, is trusted to be the guy moving forward, you know, I think it's just another step in keeping this championship window open for Colorado.
And I'm just so astonished by what he's done, especially this year. I don't know where the other guys are in the coach of the year side of things, but we'll see how this all wraps up for Bednar. But so many key injuries. And sure, the Avs did hit a slump. They hit a time there where we wondered if they were going to be able to overcome all of this. But they have. They found a way. So kudos to Bednar. But also, Georgiev. He has just been kind of a constant for this team, injuries or no injuries, whatever. He's really come on. That move is looking very good now for the Avs.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, the underlying story of this season is the fact that they have elite-level goaltending, you know, on par with Darcy Kemper, or maybe even better at this point in the regular season. You know, all these teams eventually get judged by how well they play in the postseason, and I think that's yet to be seen with Georgiev. There's no signs of him backing down in big games. If anything, he seems to play better against better teams. You know, and it's really been a blessing for an Avs team that really took a chance on this guy because, you know, in the grand scheme of things, no one knew what Georgiev was going to be like as a starter because he never got that opportunity in New York. And, you know, and talking with him now and getting his perspective after games and after practices, you know, I just get a sense that he's such a humble guy who's also very confident, right? Like, this is what he wanted from the start. He's the guy here now, and he knows that. But he's really kind of fit into this team well and into the culture. You know, he does get feisty at times in that. We saw during that losing streak, you know, he was unhappy with how the defense was playing in front of him, and he wasn't afraid to let guys know it. But there's also some leadership and accountability that comes with that too, and guys respect Georgiev. So, you know, I think he just really has all the components of a stellar goaltender. And, you know, and you look at that 5-0 victory against the Blackhawks the other night. Of course, that's a team that's totally rebuilding and trying to tank for Connor Bedard like several other teams right now. But, you know, you just love to see him playing well at this time of the year. You know, when the Avs need great goaltending the masks and those injury problems that you mentioned.
Well, and it's just, and again, we could talk about Joe Sakic too. You brought up Darcy Kuemper, and we loved Darcy Kuemper. We liked what he was able to do, but we all kind of, I think, agreed that he wasn't an elite level goalie. The Avs were just so good at everything else last year that if they can get a guy, maybe take a chance on a guy, but that can come in and be a starter and really, really help this team out, then that might be the missing piece. Well, he proved to not only be, so far, at least the missing piece, but a guy that can, as you said, kind of cover up some of those blemishes that we're witnessing while these injuries are happening to the Avs.
Exactly. And the Avs are a team that have shown that they're not willing to invest, you know, big capital in goaltending. This is a contract for Georgiev that allows the other team's stars to get paid, right? I mean, you got to give Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen what they're owed. They're the very best at what they do in the world, and they're the engine that runs this team. And I think the Avs have decided, hey, you know, we'll cycle through some guys, whether it be Philip Grubauer, Darcy Kuemper. Now they have Georgiev, and he's on a three-year deal. So, you know, I think for the Avs' sake that they'd want him to stick around. But if for some reason, you know, they needed to part ways, I think the franchise certainly has a lot of confidence in identifying goaltender talent, because it seems like no matter who's back there, they end up being really good and, you know, in two cases at least, going on to be, you know, premier starters for other teams.
I'm talking to Kyle Fredrickson, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. All right, let's get to the injury bug here. Can you help us out? Well, you know, how's Cale Makar? What's his situation looking like at this point? Gabriel Landeskog, like all these other players. I mean, what are we looking at with some of these guys, Kyle? Can you give us some good news?
Sure. Okay. Well, if you want the best news was today was a little bit of a surprise. That Darren Helm is coming back, the Avs' fourth-line center, and a guy who stepped up in the playoffs, veteran savvy, a lot of things that this team covets at this time of the year. And he's been hurt pretty much the entire season. He tried to come back from a lower body injury, I think in January or February, but only made it a couple games before he was injured again. So I think the team was a little more cautious this time around, making sure he was 100%. And, you know, sure enough, we'll get our first look at him in tonight's game against the Penguins. So that is positive news. And, you know, in terms of Cale Makar, yes, still out day-to-day with that lower body deal. But in sort of reading the tea leaves of how Jared Bednar talks about it, it sure seems like this is just precautionary and something they want to nip in the bud before the playoffs. I think if the Avs were in a must-win situation tonight, Cale would be in the lineup. But I think they really trust, you know, Bo Byram and the way that he's been playing and the rest of this team to kind of hold it together without Cale, just to make sure he's healthy, you know, through the stretch run. With Landeskog, you know, we saw him at morning skate the other day and wearing red with the team, and there was sort of this sense like, okay, maybe this is a step. But that was shot down pretty quickly. He left the ice after about 10 minutes. Coach Bednar later said that it was really just Gabe's decision to be out there. He just wanted to be with the group and with the guys for a while. But he's got a lot of off-the-ice work and individual work before he's back and really practicing with the team. So as of right now, the bad part about that is I really have no information to report that suggests that Gabe's going to be back before the end of the year is here. Now, we could be surprised and then something could pop up before the playoffs start where he's increasing his participation in practice and he takes off that red no-contact sweater. But just with the way the team continues to say that there's no timeline and he's still far off, I think the best-case scenario is that he's back in the playoffs sometime and he's able to find a little bit of rhythm. But I think the more realistic view at this point is I wouldn't expect him back in the playoffs or regular season just because there's been such a lack of update on his progress, even if though he's been skating individually for quite a while now.
Bummer. Yeah, that one's tough. But, they've found ways to still, you know, win a lot of games. I mean, they've won, what, six in a row now? Looking to see what they can do against Pittsburgh tonight at 6 o'clock. That'll be on TNT. When you look at the last stretch of games, Kyle, you know, what are there, like 13 games left, something like that. Where do you see this team? I mean, where do you see them ultimately finishing in the standings? I think, what are they, third in the Western Conference right now, or in the Central Division? Where do you see them ultimately finishing? Do you think they can go on a pretty crazy run here, assuming they get some of these guys back?
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it, it seems to me that the Avs have every opportunity to win the Central, and that's just kind of based on the math. You know, right now they are in third with 88 points behind Dallas and Minnesota, who are tied at 90. with the game in hand on those teams. So the Avs get a chance to play those guys again. They have more games left on their schedule, and it's going to allow them to make up some ground. And you mentioned it, 6 wins in a row for a team that's, you know, had to just keep shuffling guys in and out of the lineup. You know, I failed to mention earlier Evan Rodriguez being in concussion protocol. So right now, Dennis Malgin, a guy who got acquired real early in the season via trade from Toronto, he's on the top line with Nathan MacKinnon. And, you know, if you had told me that a couple months ago, I'd say, oh, boy, this team's in trouble. But they're finding ways to win, right? So I really can't hate on that. And Dennis Malgin has been phenomenal the past few games, showing that, you know, he really has the skill to play in the top six. You know, of course, with a healthy roster, there's no way he's on that top line. But they're finding ways to do it. And when you look at the teams that the Avs have to play down the stretch here, I mean, their strength of schedule is one of the easiest left of any team out there. And that's mostly because of just how it lays out. You know, back-to-back games against the Coyotes, back-to-back games against the Sharks, you know, throw in the Ducks. You know, there's a lot of winnable games tucked in there. And then also a home game against the Stars. You know, they get the Jets at home as well, the Wild at home. So, you know, a ton of games that mean a lot where the Avs get to have that, you know, friendly Ball Arena crowd. You know, I just really think that there's no reason to believe that they couldn't climb to that top seed in the division. Now, if they don't get it, I don't think they're overly worried about it. It's something that we've touched on before. It's been such a hard-fought adversity season. You know, this team isn't going to think that they're front runners no matter what. You know, they've just had this underdog mentality. And I think that's going to carry over no matter who plays them. And I think when, you know, the West being how, just let's be honest, it's not good this year, no team wants to face the Avs in the first round. It's going to be the most feared opponent, I think, of any team once the playoffs actually start, regardless of what the seed is.
Yeah, it just goes to show you just how good this group is, how great their depth is, their coach, everything. And it's been fun so far. Kyle, my man, what are you working on that we can check out? I know we'll be following you for injury updates and everything, too. But anything else in particular we can check out via Twitter and available at the Denver Gazette?
Yeah, you know, I guess the next kind of feature story I'm excited about is sort of trying to get into the head of Val Nichushkin a little bit. You know, he's such a star player for this team, signed an 8-year contract, is going to be a pillar of the franchise for years to come. But he doesn't really talk with the reporters and basically shuts down pretty much everyone who asks him questions after games or, you know, during practice media sessions. So He's very polite about it, but there's a language barrier, and he's from Russia, and I think he's pretty nervous in those settings. But I think I found a good angle to chat with him about. Just being that he's really found some strong friendships with other Russian-speaking players on the team, guys like Dennis Malgin and Alexander Gorgiev. So, you know, interviews with them, I got a good sense of who Val is as a guy and what he brings as a leader. You know, even despite the fact that, you know, he's pretty quiet and he's not going to, you know, speak up in a lot of settings. So really enjoyed peeling back that layer of his story a little bit and excited to share that. You know, in the coming weeks here, hoping to get that interview nailed down with Val soon. But like I said, he's a tough customer sometimes.
Well, that's why you do what you do, man. Do it so very, very well. So we'll look forward to that coming up in the next couple of days. Really appreciate you. And let's go Avs. We got Avs and Nuggets tonight. Let's see if we can get the double dub. Let's see if that can happen tonight.
It's going to be a fun April and May with these teams in the playoffs. I don't think a lot of us are going to be getting much sleep.
No, I'm already ready. I don't sleep much anyway with all this March Madness late night crap anyway, man. So might as well stay up late and watch playoffs. Let's do it.
All right. Get the Red Bull. I'm ready.
Let's go. All right, Kyle. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Bye.
Kyle Fredrickson, Denver Gazette. Yeah, I was, you know, for you, Angel, that's going to be tough. You're the early guy here. You and Brian and Tanner. When we get into the Avs-Nuggets playoff games, it's going to be some late nights for you, man. You ready for that? You ready for that commitment?
You make it work.
You just got to do it, right? You got to put in the work.
Yeah.
You got to get the, as Kyle said, you got to get the Red Bull. You got to get the coffee. And you got to sit down in your couch. And you got to watch. You know?
I mean,
it's a tough job, but it's dedication.
Regardless of what time the game starts, I got to be here the next morning. So one of those things doesn't change.
You can sleep during commercial breaks.
I wish, but I'm actually doing stuff in between breaks.
38 minutes after the hour. Look at all the texts just pour in about Varsity Blues when we were talking about that. That is a mission for you this offseason. When we get into the summer and the Rockies are well out of it, you need, can I give you a list of movies? We could revamp the random movie reviews. During COVID.
This is your opportunity
for you.
Playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime, but I don't want your life.
I don't want your life. Dawson's Creek is an amazing actor. Like, he
has a pretty large forehead.
He does. Yeah, he was. You know Dawson's Creek, right?
No.
I know the show.
I've never watched it.
It was great in that. Teens had problems, bro.
When did this come out?
Late 90s? I mean, teens have problems in that.
99?
Yeah.
I was like a year old.
Dawson.
At that point, January 99, I was 6 months old.
You missed out on some stuff, man. Late 90s. I mean, we didn't know what we were watching. We didn't know why we were watching, but we were watching. We were watching that. And then Dawson's Creek he was a big wig in the Varsity Blues. And that movie was like an MTV kind of deal. Everybody freaked out about it. It was fantastic. Are you down for that mission this summer? Little movie review series?
I guess. I mean, in between that and watching the Rockies lose, I guess I could find time.
Fridays we could do, and it won't be new movies or anything coming out. It's just stuff that we can find on net. We did that during COVID, and there were no games. And it was just randomly, Tombstone. Let's review it. Let's review Jerry Maguire. But I want you to have a list of these movies because there's some good stuff in there. I don't know if Varsity Blues will click with you as much now because it's weird in this day and age. But Jerry Maguire, that will last that stands the test of time. Absolutely does. 41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
See it right there? That little twangy part at the end? Hitting that whammy bar? Hit the whammy bar.
Is that what that is?
It's a whammy bar.
Okay.
It's Tom Morello, man. It's Audio Slave, but Tom Morello's playing that riff right there. Absolutely mesmerizing guitar player. Google Ali Lar... What's her name? Latar? And you'll watch tonight, Angel, according to Dixon. If you Google that person, you will watch Varsity Blues tonight.
See, I know what you're talking about, and I've seen that in another movie. Not another teen movie.
Oh, yeah, because they make fun of it. Yep.
It's a spoof.
Uh-huh.
That's what I know that from. Well, I didn't know it was from Varsity
Blues. Yeah, it's from Varsity Blues. Can you believe Not Another Teen... Was it Not Another Teen Movie? It was the Captain America guy?
Chris Evans, yeah.
He was like the main guy in that.
He was the one that did that scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just comes out with a little whipped cream.
Yeah, he was the guy.
And then he turns around, there's a banana.
He was actually really good in that movie. I don't like a lot of those spoof movies, but that one was actually pretty funny.
Early 2000s Chris Evans, he was doing everything.
He was a Fantastic Four. And they're like, nah, this superhero thing's not going to work out for you.
He was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I never saw that one.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I never saw that one. But Not Another Teen Movie's good.
It is good.
That's the main character, the girl in that one, she's drawing a picture. She's painting her mom, and it's just a stick figure and little dots. And he's like, she has your eyes.
when Janie's got a gun, and he sings that to her, and the cops come to arrest her.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, she's got a gun.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, man. Mark just texts me.
Mark Johnson?
Mark Johnson just texts me. Who's the starting Arizona point guard? Kerr Creasa? Is it Kerr Creasa? Is that how you say it?
Sure.
He entered the transfer portal.
Ooh.
Starting point guard. Mark just said, per our conversation, apparently being a starter for a top 10 program is not good enough.
Wow.
Grass is greener, I guess. Logos, jersey number, jersey change, scenery.
Just push coaches to be better coaches.
What do you do?
Well, everything's a case-by-case situation with these players. It could be a coach. It could be a family situation. It could be anything. But when you're a starting point guard for a top 10 team.
Does it get much better than that? I mean,
if you take an upset, I guess.
I mean, they got upset, but they're going to be back there. I mean, everybody's getting upset here. Kansas is getting upset. Purdue's getting upset. Listen, it's gone too far. I agree. It's gone too far. I was never, like, banging the drum for more transfers. I was never there. NIL stuff's different, but maybe he's getting a better NIL deal. Get ready, because it's not going to get any better anytime soon. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The NFL's been crazy lately with moves. And then this Aaron Rodgers thing, I mean, we don't really know what... That's going to happen, right? Like,
if you ask a Jets fan, it's a done deal. It's already happened. They've already got their 12 jerseys, and you're just disrespecting Namath. But, yeah.
Isn't that jersey number retired?
It is retired.
And they're gonna...
But there's a report that Namath will unretire it so Rodgers can wear it. I don't like it.
Not big on retiring jerseys, because eventually you're going to retire them all. If the world continues, you're going to...
I'm fine with retiring jerseys. I'm not... retiring a number?
Yeah, I don't...
That's a little much.
I don't want to retire numbers. So when I always say, should Carmelo Anthony's jersey be hung in the rafters there, people are like, well, then you're not going to... What are you going to do, take it down when Joker retires? No, I don't want to retire the number.
Just put two of them up there.
You just want to honor your great players. The greatest players of your franchise should have banners. The Ring of Fame, you should have something like that. And it doesn't mean that you have to retire their number.
There's only two Nuggets retired ones.
Boy, I don't know.
English and I think it's Issel.
I honestly, you'd think I'd know that. I don't know the answer to that.
Mr. Nuggets.
It's got to be Alex English, though. I would imagine. But maybe, I mean, Dan Issel was a great Nugget. He's not top three, but he was a great Nugget. Maybe so.
Nuggets have retired Alex English.
What was Alex, two? Was two. He two?
Bill Russell, but that's a league-wide one.
Yeah.
Fat Lever, number 12.
Oh, yeah.
David Thompson, number 33.
Makes sense.
Byron Beck.
Yep.
40.
Good one.
Dan Issel, Dikembe Mutombo, and head coach Doug Moe.
That makes sense.
It's number 432.
But for the wins, don't retire the number, but call it something different. We'll put Ring of Fame. The NFL does it really well. You're not retiring Shannon Sharp, number 84. You're just putting him in the Ring of Fame, remembering him as one of your greats. If you only can retire the number, then yeah, I just don't like that. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show with what did we learn on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, it is. How are we feeling, Broncos country? Hear team talk and coverage every day on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
We did have a special day. It was a special time, gang. Thanks for keeping it here on your everyday run-of-the-mill whole show. What did I learn today? I learned that be careful what you wish for. Even me. The transfer portal, NIL stuff, I ultimately still think, in theory, they're great ideas for college sports. But because the NCAA has a habit of kicking the can down the road, this is where we are. Yeah, we'll deal with that when we have to. And now we have to. And now you have no control. And you've lost it. What did you learn today, Aunt Joe?
I learned that the Avalanche may not be Stanley Cup champs this year. But they are certainly going to put up a fight to defend their title.
I think they'll put up a fight. Yeah, I think they'll put up a fight.
Any playoff series this team is in, they have a chance to win. Just because of the guys in that locker room, the coach that they have. They know how to do it.
Can we just get to the playoffs already?
Please.
Let's just get there. I don't want to do 10 games left. Big one tonight for the Nuggets. Big one tonight for the Avs. Avs looking to go 7 in a row here. And the Nuggets are just trying to hold on to that lead that they have. They're the best in the West. Easy there, Tanner, about firing Malone. They're still the best in the West. Until they're not that, then you can't really have this conversation unless you get bounced in the first round. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Looking forward to those conversations. Kevin Lytle will join us from the Coloradoan. We'll talk about John Tonjay entering the transfer portal. We'll talk about Isaiah Stevens and what's next there. And spring football starts for CSU on Saturday. So a lot to unpack, and we'll do it tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.